So what are we talking about when we talk about man card? So we can all get on the same page. A man card, let's just go and look at a definition of this. A man card is a card that doesn't actually exist, although we have man cards. We'll give some more at the end of the service. A card that doesn't actually exist but certifies that you are a man. The man card can be taken away in two circumstances. Number one, your girlfriend or wife wants to keep it. Number two, you do something profoundly unmanly. For example, we had to take away Henry's man card because he cried in public when Christina dumped him. So Christina, I don't know why you did that, but poor Henry got his man card taken away. So we're kind of having fun with this idea, but really it is an important series. We really are specifically challenging men. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. We are going after guys. I noticed there's a few less guys here today than last week. Some of them couldn't handle it. No, it's vacation season, but it's applicable to all of us, okay? So what we're going to talk about is something that we all need. But here's one of my convictions. We talked about this last week as we started the series, is that men, if we will take God seriously, if we will lead, if we will step up, then everyone else around us will benefit from that. Everyone will. And it's the ripple effect. It's how it ripples down to those around us. And last week we learned that what we fill our minds with will eventually become the fruit of our lives. So we were challenged last week to have a strong mind, to be disciplined in our mind, in our thoughts, in our behavior. So that's what we started with last week. So men, the challenge is still out there for us, that as we step up, those around us benefit. And so it's up to us to be able to do our part and to be able to lead. Now this week we're talking about an important topic called courage. We're going to talk about courage. And courage is the ability to step up when the moment calls for it. So we're going to talk about what it means to have courage, what it means for men to have courage, what it means for women to have courage. And just as I talked about last week, this series is not about what culture says is worthy of a man card, right? We understand that, right? Culture has one perception of what it means to be manly. Big muscles, you know, monster trucks or muscle cars or lots of money or whatever it is. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at God's view of what it really means to have the attributes that God wants us to have. Make sense? So today we're talking about courage. We're going to jump right in. We're talking about a person named Benaiah. How many of you have ever heard of a guy in the Bible named Benaiah? Yeah. Right, and you haven't heard about him, or some of you have, but many of you haven't heard about him because there's like three verses in the entire Bible about this person named Benaiah. And you can find these verses in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to encourage you guys to turn there. It's going to be on the screen for us as well. You guys have a good week this past week?
Yeah.
Did you? We celebrated some baptisms last Sunday, and that was an awesome thing. And that was very cool. So 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to talk about Benaiah. Let me tell you about Benaiah real quickly. So I have to tell you, first of all, about a guy named David. How many of you have heard about David in the Bible? Okay, a few more hands, right? David, we know very well. David and Goliath, that whole thing. So David was king. He's king in Israel. And it wasn't like we have it now. He didn't have like a national security advisor. They didn't have, you know, borders and protection and military. David was kind of on his own. So David had around him groups of men that were his valiant warriors, his mighty men. And these were the people that were his bodyguards. They were the people that were the protectors of the country. And so all the time, nations were attacking other nations and taking over and taking away the women and children, things like that. It was a very hostile time. So David had to gather around him a group of people that would be his bodyguards, his protectors. And this was a huge number of people. And we're not talking about, scrawny, like, you know, little warriors. These are men. Like, these are men's men. All right? I would not be qualified to be part of David's mighty warriors, I don't think. I'd have to bulk up a little bit. So these guys are fierce warriors. They train because they want to be able to protect David. And so what we're going to find in 2 Samuel is a list of some of these individuals, and Benaiah makes this list. You're going to see in these verses, you're going to see a couple things. You're going to see a group known as the 30, which they had like a famous name. They were the 30. Like they were the 30 top guys in David's militia, David's army. And then there's also a group known as the 3. So like in amidst the 30, there's 3 of them that were like David's closest. They were his top dogs. And we're going to read some of this. It's a little bit graphic. We're going to read about some of their exploits as warriors. And we're going to see this guy, Benaiah, and find a really interesting incident. We're going to come pull out courage from that and dive into it. Sound good? All right. Whew, here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 23, we're going to start in verse 20. We're going to read to verse 23. So in all these readings of who these warriors were, we start in verse 20. There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. That's one of their enemies. Another time, check this verse out. This is obscure. This is what we're going to focus on. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit, and he killed it. It's like, okay, God, why did you include this in the Bible? Like, what's going on? And keep going here. Once armed with only a club, he killed an imposing Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear. Benaiah wrenched the spear from the Egyptian's hand, and he killed him with it. Deeds like these made Benaiah as famous as the three mightiest warriors. See, it says capital T, three. Like, there's these three guys. It made him as famous as these guys. He was more honored than other members of the 30, though he was not one of the three. And David made him captain of his bodyguard. Now, don't start thinking about that movie, Bodyguard, okay? But you get the idea. Like, this was a volatile time. They needed these kinds of, they had these kinds of battles going on. They had to protect themselves and protect their country and their families and their king. And so Benaiah shows up in this incident, and he was known for he was known for his courage. Benaiah, there's no other mention of him in the entire Bible other than these four verses. He was a warrior. He was honored. David made him the captain of his bodyguard, right? And this one obscure verse that says, one day he chased a lion, one snowy day he chased a lion into a pit and he killed him, right? Seems kind of weird, right? There's actually a whole book. If you want to read a book, it's called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. go figure, right? Book by Mark Batterson. I highly recommend this book. Came out a couple years ago, and he talks all about his life and what he accomplished. And some things that he points out is that this takes incredible courage. Most people would simply run away from a lion, but he's running toward a lion. Why is he running toward a lion? Well, to kill it, yeah. Not to pet it, probably. Not to make friends. A lion, it represents danger, right? If this lion is roaming, and there's children, there's people around, this lion could attack them. So he's seeing something, he's being proactive, and he's going after this lion. Not only is he going after it, but he's going after it in bad conditions. It's a snowy day. He's chasing it into a pit, right? And so he's chasing after this issue, and he's gonna take charge, and he's going to do something about it. Make sense? That takes courage. So Benaiah is known for his incredible courage. We need courage. We need courage to lead our families. We need courage to make an impact in our world. We need courage like never before simply to just survive. And we certainly need courage to follow Christ. We need courage, don't we? We need courage. I don't know how many of you are watching the Olympics. How many of you are watching the Olympics? Do you guys know the Olympics are going on right now? Happens every 4 years. We've been watching a lot of Olympics. My daughters especially love the gymnastics and some of those kinds of things, and it's been a lot of fun. I just get really caught up in the spirit of it. It's fun for me. And so we've been staying up way too late watching Olympics and cheering people on. And I saw an example of courage. Maybe some of you guys saw this. Go ahead and show the next picture. There's a group of synchronized divers, which they wear these really skimpy. we change it when our daughters are watching because, anyway, we don't have to explain all that stuff just yet. But these guys, they're both Americans. They're a duo. They're a team of synchronized divers. They get up on the big high platform and they do these synchronized dives together. And these guys, Budai and Johnson, they won the silver medal this year in the synchronized. Anybody watch this? A few of you. All right, very patriotic, all of us. So these guys win the silver. And they get out of the pool, and they know they won the silver. They're super happy about this. And the interviewer sticks a camera in their face and starts asking them the questions. And these guys, I was blown away. I almost fell out of my chair as we were watching this. But these guys talk about, the reporter says, how did you do this? How are you so calm in the midst of all this pressure? And I'm not kidding you, Bodai on the left here in the picture, his first words were, "Well, I know that my identity is not wrapped up in the scores that we see on that board, but my identity is rooted in Christ." And then he talks about that. He talks about the peace that he has. And then his diving partner said the same exact thing. You know, said, our identity is in Jesus Christ. And just the whole time, they have this peace about them, whether they win or lose, because they know that their identity is wrapped up in Christ. Talk about courage, right? On national broadcast, how many millions of people are watching this, and they're stepping up with courage. I love that. And we need more of that, don't we? So I wanted to dive in a little bit to the topic of courage. We have a little bit of ground to cover today. So the question is, what is courage? What really is courage? I grabbed some quotes from some people that you might know. Franklin Roosevelt said this. I love this quote about courage. He said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear." I love that, right? Because courage doesn't mean there's not fear. It means that even in the midst of fear, I evaluate that this other thing is better. I'm going to have courage to overcome the fear because what I see is more important than what the fear is. Bruce Lee, very well-known theologian. This is attributed to him. It probably is attributed to many other people, but he said this about courage. "Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to act in the presence of fear." So courage is the ability to face circumstances and do what is right regardless of the outcome. There is a moral imperative to courage. It's not just not being afraid, but it's choosing to do what's right even though you are afraid and no matter what the outcome. A lot of people these days are making choices based on opinion polls. I don't just mean politics, I mean in life. We choose to do the things we do based on what the outcome is going to be. And you're trying to think like, well, why, how else would you do it? Sometimes we make choices based on what's right and not on what the outcome is going to be. That's a difference with courage. A lot of people are just living, what are other people going to think about this? Or how is this going to impact me financially or whatever else? But courage says, I'm going to do what's right regardless of the situation. Here's a quote from H.D. McDonald from a commentary that I read this week. It says, "In the Bible, the Hebrew word hazak means literally to show oneself strong. Other words mean to be quick or to alert and exhibit the basic attitude from which courage flows." Listen to this part. "The ideal for the Christian is not the grin and bear it attitude, but a more natural one which sees an occasion for victory in every opposition because of Christ." What that means is that for a Christian, no matter what the circumstance or outcome, we can have courage because we see the opportunity for victory in Jesus Christ. So like these two divers, whether we win gold, silver, bronze, or we come in last place, we are still victorious because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Make sense? So we have that kind of courage. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. So here's the main point, and we're going to kind of talk about some applications. So here's the main point of this. A strong man or woman has incredible courage because he knows or she knows God. He knows God. He knows what God can do and that God is faithful and that God can do anything. So we're not talking about courage that just is found within yourself. We're talking about courage that has a source, and that source is God. Here's one of the places we get this, Romans 8:37. It just lists a whole bunch of bad things that could happen. And then it says this. It says, "No, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." That's a great spot for amens, right? That we recognize, we're saying that courage has a source, and you and I are not the source of that courage. God is. Our courage is not tough it out, but Christ is the source. Courage is really strength of spirit. Does that make sense? Like, you can be weak physically, but yet be strong in your spirit. And have courage. I know some people who are going through some incredibly difficult things physically, but their spirit is strong. You can be strong physically and be weak in your spirit. You guys have all experienced that. So what we're talking about is this kind of courage that is strength of spirit, strength of heart. And a strong person has incredible courage because they know God. God is the source of that courage. Without that source, we don't have courage that lasts for very long. He is the source. Amen, church?
Amen.
Now, I want to just kind of talk about a couple practical things. I told you you've got to kind of keep moving through this. So I want to challenge you to have courage in two different areas of your life. Number one, I want to encourage you to have courage to confront. Courage to confront. I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. Courage to confront your fears. What are you afraid of? I'm going to ask you to get deep for a second and think, right? Evaluate. Honestly, what? Maybe you have to write this question down, do it later. But what are your fears? What are your greatest fears? And some of the common ones are fear of death, fear of failure, fear of rejection. But what, honestly, if you could drill down, what are your greatest fears? What are you afraid of at this stage of your life? I don't know if you know this about elephants, but elephants have great memories. If everyone ever says you have a memory like an elephant, that's a compliment. Elephants have great memories. One of the ways that we know this, go ahead and show the next slide. One of the ways that we know this is when elephants are babies, they get tied up with this little small stake, and they try to pull away from it, and they can't because they're not strong enough. But even as they get older, these elephants don't know their own strength. And so even as grown, you know, monster elephants, the same stake can hold them in place because they have this memory that says at one point, this stake, I couldn't move away from it, so now I can't, and I don't try anymore. Make sense? This is a great analogy for what fear does. At some point, fear holds us captive. We get bit somehow, and we say, you know what, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to try that again. So that fear holds us locked in place. So what are your fears? What are the things that are holding you back? A quote from Mark Batterson's book. He says, Satan has two primary tactics when it comes to neutralizing you spiritually. Number one, discouragement, which let me just break apart that word real quick. Discourage. I'm going to take away your courage. See that connection? Encourage, obviously, is to instill courage. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to instill courage into you. Or Satan tries to discourage. He tries to remove our courage. So he tries two things, discouragement and fear. He wants you to focus on past mistakes you've made, and the end result is a loss of what? A loss of courage. And he does that to us. He says, look what you did in the past. You failed. You're a failure. You can't do this. And he discourages us. We lose our courage. So what are you afraid of? For me, just a candid moment, one of my fears, as we started Evident Church and as we kind of stepped out, one of my fears is failure. One of my fears is failure. Like, what if what we're doing doesn't work? There's a lot of pressure in life. So fear of failure. I don't know who doesn't have that fear. But I found one of the greatest ways to move past fears is to acknowledge them. Because they tend to lose their power when you tend to name them, don't they?
Yep.
And when you identify what they are, they don't hold you as much. So confront your fears. Excuse me. I want to challenge you to confront sin. We need to have courage, men, to confront sin. There's this account in the book of Joshua, and Joshua is a military leader, and he's leading Israel into the promised land, and they're having to go through and claim this land as their own. And they're getting kind of cocky because everywhere that they go, God blesses them, and they keep winning the battles. They go and they just win the battles. They're like Michael Phelps of the promised land, okay? Like they're just doing it. And they're winning everything. They get kind of cocky and they go into one battle in a town called Ai, and they get routed, they get destroyed. They run back to their camp with their tail between their legs because they got that really beaten up. So Joshua's kind of crying out to God and saying, God, how could you let this happen? And God is very pointed with Joshua and says, Joshua, get up. There's sin in the camp. I gave you orders, some of the men, you're not supposed to take some of the stuff from the nations that you conquer and not supposed to plunder it. And you've got people that are taking things, they're being disobedient. There's sin in the camp. And so he says, Joshua, until you get rid of that sin, you're not going to be able to keep moving on and being victorious. So men, we have to have courage, and women to confront sin. We can't allow sin to take root and to be there. We have to have courage to confront that. I want to challenge you to confront responsibility. We have responsibilities as men and as women. We need to confront those responsibilities. and take those responsibilities for what they are. We're husbands, we're dads, we're leaders, we're bosses, we're employees. Okay, we do all of these things, and they're responsibilities that we have. We need to have the courage to confront those and to address those. We need to have courage to confront problems. We see problems, we need to have courage to confront them. It's easier to let the lion just wander off. We need to have courage to say, no, that's a lion. I'm going to do something about that. Make sense? I was reading this week, and I thought this was really interesting. I don't know a whole lot about the Catholic faith, but what I was reading was that the opposite of courage, which is cowardice, is considered a mortal sin in the Catholic faith. But the opposite, courage, is considered a cardinal virtue. And with even within the Catholic Church, they recognize the virtue of courage and how important that is, and the sin of cowardice. From his book, Mark Batterson again says this. I think this is really true. He said, I think the church has fixated on sins of commission for far too long. Sins of commission are sins that you commit. But I think that God is more concerned about sins of omission, things that you should have done that you didn't. These things could have and should have, the things that we should have and could have done. Think of all the things. Think about this for a second. Think of all the things, men and women, think of all the things that we haven't done that we should have. Think of all the mountains that we should have conquered for Christ that we haven't because we've had the sin of omission. We haven't had courage to do it. I think God wants to instill courage in us. So what needs to be confronted? Now, the second area I want to challenge you to step up in or to have courage in is the courage to step up. Courage to step up. We're going to talk about this a lot in this series because, quite honestly, guys, one of the biggest challenges for us is that we're tempted to sit on the sidelines and not do anything. We're born to chase lions, but we're tempted to sit on the sidelines. Would you agree with that? I made a joke last week, kind of a joke. This is one of my phrases, but I made a joke. I talk a lot about sometimes it's time to put on the big boy pants and be men, right? You guys understand that. Did you guys know it actually has a biblical connection? So here's the biblical connection. You guys ready? We're going to skip around. Go to the verses right after this, Steve, and then I'll explain it. Yeah, there you go. Okay, this is found in Jeremiah. Let me explain to you this passage, and then we'll talk about pulling up the big boy pants, okay? Sorry. I think it's funny because I know the punchline. It's coming. Okay. So here's what God says to Jeremiah, one of his prophets. He says this. He says, I want you to get up and prepare for action. Go out and tell everything that I tell you to say. Do not be afraid. Next slide. I have made you strong like a fortified city that cannot be captured, like an iron pillar or a bronze wall. Next verse. You will stand against the whole land, for I am with you, and I will take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Go back to the first slide of those verses, Steve, when it says, get up and prepare yourself for action. If you look in the footnote of your Bible, it might say something like this. It might say, gird up your loins. That's the literal translation from the original text, is gird up your loins. And I was just thinking about that one day, going, that pretty much means pull up your big boy pants, doesn't it? Gird up your loins. And I was like, that's kind of weird, but that's kind of funny too. Here's what this means in context, in the biblical context, here's what this means. Go ahead and go back to those pictures. I found an illustration that says how to gird up your loins. You guys are going to learn amazing things today. So here's how you gird up your loins. This is traditional dress for men in biblical times. So it says, number one, the tunic would allow you to do heavy labor or fight in battle, necessitating the girding up of one's loins. You guys know what loins are, right? Okay. Number two, it says hoist the tunic up so that the fabric is above your knees. This will give you mobility. Number three, gather all the extra material in front of you so that the back of the tunic is snug against your backside. So you're lifting it all up, you're pulling it in front of you. Okay, next slide. Number four, once the excess fabric is gathered in front, pull it underneath. I wish I had one to demonstrate, but I don't. This feels much like a diaper, it says. And then it says, gather half the material in one hand and the other, and then bring it in front of you. And finally, tie two handfuls together, and you're all set for both battle and some hard labor. Go forth, be ye men, and gird up your loins. All right? Yes, we can clap for that. I don't know what. But when the Bible says this, this is what it's talking about. It's talking to men directly. It's saying, you know what? You need to pick up your garment, get yourself ready for action, and charge into battle. That's what it's saying. Gird up your loins. So when those verses in Jeremiah, go back to those verses. It says, get up and prepare for action. Literally, it says, Jeremiah, gird up your loins. Take your dress, tie it, and get in battle. Isn't that cool? I got another verse in the New Testament that has the same phrase. It's in 1 Peter 1:13. It says, so prepare your minds for action. That's literally saying, gird up the loins of your mind. Take your mind, get ready, be battle ready. Go into this, exercise self-control, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So we find it all over the place, this concept of girding up your loins, of stepping up and being ready for battle. Men, we are called to have courage. We are called to step up. I want to tell you two areas to step up. I want to encourage you that we would step up with our families. Men, you want to be able to answer this question. Where are you headed as a family? Men, if you can't answer that question for your family, you need to be able to answer that question. If your wife asks you, honey, where are we headed as a family? Or if someone asks you, where are we headed? If your kids want to know, where are we headed? Men, we are called to answer that question. Where are we headed as a family? If you want to lead those around you, it also begins by leading yourself. This week, we're talking as staff, and Tony had some great thoughts on this. One of the things that he said this week was, he said, you know, we want to model for those around us what we want to see. So if we want to see more prayer in our family, more God orientation in our family, we have to model what we want to see in our family. Make sense, men? Men? Gird up those loins, boys. Let's do this.
Amen.
We need to model that. I'm not going to dive into this very deeply. I'm going to touch this more in September. We're going to do a series. We're doing a week called Kids Week. It's going to be awesome to have a way to reinvest energy into our kids ministry. We're going to do a series called Family Forward and how to move your family forward with God. And one of the weeks we're going to talk about this a little bit deeper. But I did some studies. I wanted to know what are the effects or impacts of absent men in our culture. And I found some staggering stats that so many kids grew up without men in their lives, without dads. But then I found this little side note. Men, this is challenging. It said the effects, so like higher suicide rate, higher rate of depression, like significantly higher for those that don't have men in their lives. But a side note said that just as bad are those men that are present physically but absent emotionally. The emotionally absent father has just as significant of consequences on kids as a completely absent father. So that dad who provides financially and does all that stuff, but he's not engaged at all emotionally with his kids, the effects are just, the suicide rate is just as high. That's crazy to me. That challenges me to make sure when I'm home, my kids aren't watching me staring at my phone, but I'm engaged with them emotionally. I'm having conversations with them. Men, this takes courage. It takes courage. Step up in families. For us to say, not me. I want to challenge us to step up in faith. Like I said, we're going to dive into that other topic a little bit more later. I know it's a heavy topic. We'll dive into that in a few weeks a little bit more. Step up with faith. Our courage grows in direct proportion to our faith in God. Faith in God is learning to trust Him. Learning to trust Him happens as we take steps. That we will be men of faith and the first to say in any circumstances, God can. Men, that we will be men of faith. That no matter the circumstances, good or bad, we'd be the first ones to say, you know what, this looks hard, or this looks bad, but we have faith in God. God can do this. God can do this. That we would have courage. A couple examples of courage from the Bible. Daniel was a man of courage. David was a man of courage. He saw Goliath as an enemy, and he says, you know what, Goliath is nothing compared to my God. That we would be men of courage and faith. Joshua, Abraham, Paul, Peter, and of course Jesus. When Jesus is staring at the cross, what courage it takes as a man, as a person, to stare at the cross, knowing what's coming, and saying, I'm going there anyway. That's what it means to have your man card, to say, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to have faith in God, I'm going to have courage to do what needs to be done. These are men that God used greatly because they were men who had great faith. And let me wrap up with a couple things. I know we're kind of running short on time. I want to tell you three quick things. These are not in your notes anywhere. These are some freebies. I was thinking about this. So if we want to have courage, what are some things that can encourage our courage? Now, what are some things that can build our courage? Three quick things that build my courage. Number one is other people. When I get around other people of great faith, it builds my courage. So that's the challenge, is to try to get around other people who can build your courage. Make sense? That's why I love going to prayer meetings. We've got prayer meetings we're doing now as a church. I love going there because I walk away filled with courage. You know what I'm saying? I walk away encouraged. Number two, this may be a new one for you, music. Music gives me courage. You ever throw something on the headphones or in the car? How about in the car, okay? Who would normally just drive down the road singing and just like going crazy in the car? Yes, I know some of you would. Yes, yes. You guys are weird to me. No. But you're not. But here's the deal. We get courage, right? We don't care what other people think about us. We've got our tunes on. We're singing our hearts out because it's the music. Music has a way of getting to your heart and encouraging you. I want to encourage you to find and maybe update some Christian music that will feed you some courage juice and give you that courage that you need. Where do you find your courage? Courage is lacking these days. Where will you find your courage? I want to give you a couple quick examples. One of the albums I've been listening to lately, I'm going to put that next picture, is an album called For King and Country. And it's an album called Run Wild, Live Free, Love Strong. It's a Christian group. I've been listening to this album on repeat nonstop for the last couple of weeks. And that's what I do. That's how I roll with my music. And so I wanted to just play for you a couple samples of some of their songs. Here's this first one called Shoulders. Go ahead and just listen to this real quick.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Sorry for that cutting off so quick. We didn't have time to play the whole song. You wanted me to. I know you did. Because these songs instill us with courage, right? I know that you are here. My hope comes from you. We need things like that instill courage in us. One of the other songs on this album that I've been listening to I think we have a picture, maybe not, but it's called It's Not Over Yet. And we're going to play a small clip from this song.
Up inside your head, you got a voice that says you won't get past this one, you won't win your freedom. It's like a constant war, and you want to settle that star, but you bruise and beaten, and you feel defeated. This goes out to the heaviest heart.
No!
All right. No, we can't listen to the whole song. We don't have time. But these types of songs instill courage in me. So when I'm feeling discouraged, one of the things I need to do is I need to throw on some music, and I need to find my courage again. I want to encourage you to dive into some Christian music that will instill courage in you and will root that courage in Christ. Make sense? Doesn't have to be this album. That may not be your thing, but find something. That makes me want to go into battle right there. Right, when I'm getting ready to go into something, I throw that on, and I just, that's where I'm going. I'm going to the battle for God. And then obviously, one of the sources of our courage is Scripture. That we look to Scripture to find truth, to find meaning, to find who God is. We need to know who God is. When we find God, we find courage. Amen, church? We find our courage in Him. I want to encourage you to find some verses that instill courage in you. One of mine is Joshua 1:9. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for I am with you wherever you go. He's telling Joshua to have courage. I love that we have a God that looks at us and says, be of courage. Stand up. You can do this. I'm with you. That's awesome. It's awesome. A couple of reading plans. We try to do this every week or every so often. A couple of reading plans in YouVersion for you. Just list those on the screen real quick. One's called Stand. Courage from the Book of Daniel, a 7-day reading plan. You can look that up on YouVersion. Another one there called Crash the Chatterbox. This is about the voices that are in our lives trying to discourage us and how to battle that. Those are two that I would definitely recommend for this week for reading for us from Scripture. Now, we're going to close the service. Band, you guys go ahead and come on up. Men, you guys stand up again with me. And last week, we passed out some man cards. How many of you men still have your man card? If you have to get it from your wife, don't. Don't. If she's holding it for you, don't do that. Men, how many of you still have your man cards? Mine fell out of my pocket a couple times this week, and I had people come up behind me and say, oh, sir, you dropped this. I was like, that's kind of ironic. I just dropped my man card. They didn't notice what it was, but... I'm going to try to drop it now in front of people. Say, oh, and conversation starter. But we passed these out last week as a reminder. And if you didn't get one or you lost yours, if you lost it, guys, should we give them another one if they lost it?
Yes.
All right, we're in church. We forgive. Steve Montgomery is going to pass out these. If you didn't get one, let him know. He'll give you one. These are our man cards, men. And these are to be taken seriously, not the card itself necessarily, but the idea behind it, that God is calling you to be a man of God. He's calling you to have courage. He's calling you to have courage to step up. And it takes courage to do what God is calling us to do. There's something about standing, men, that indicates readiness and desire, and it indicates courage. Things need to be done. We need to have courage. Ladies, you guys can stand right now too, okay? I don't have a ladies card, sorry. This is for the guys, but ladies, you need courage as well, don't you?
Yes.
The battles you face are real. The enemies that you face are real, and we need courage. Man, God loves us. If you don't know God, I want to encourage you to open your heart this morning to know God. God has made a way for you. He loves you. His way that made is through Jesus Christ, His Son. That, you know, men, we have these man cards not necessarily because we deserve them, because God has given them to us. And His grace is sufficient for us. We're not perfect, but He entrusts us. So here's what we're going to say. Here's how we know God is with us and for us. God has, if you are a follower of Christ, He's given you a very important deposit. Anybody know what that deposit is in your life? It's giving you the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Christ, God has given you a guarantee that He is for you because He's put His Holy Spirit in you. He doesn't just do that lightly, but He's saying, I am empowering you to have courage through me. Lean on me, depend on me, look to me, and I will make you a man and woman of courage. So that's what we're going to do this week, okay, church? We're going to sing a song right now called Unstoppable God. I want to encourage you to let this song even speak to you. It's about how our God can do anything. My goal is that we'll rush out, not rush, but we'll head out of here today filled with courage, all right? So let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. God, or we'll sing our song. God, thank you for this time together as a church. And I just pray that around this room, you'd be filling us with courage. God, it is so easy to get down in those areas of our life right now where we're feeling weak and lacking courage to go on. I pray that you right now would come in and fill us with hope and courage. Courage for the marriage, courage for the workplace, courage for our family, courage for our finances. Just simply courage to live for you, God, that we know that the hope we have in you is incredible. That you are our source. You came up out of the grave, and you instill us with courage. Help us to have courage to confront, courage to step up, and courage to do what needs to be done, to humble ourselves before you. We love you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.